the darkness at thy speaking, it was done.
Welcome to Sermons from Zion Lutheran Church of Gwinner, North Dakota. Zion Lutheran Church is committed to the message of Christ crucified for the forgiveness of sins, for the church and the world. The following sermon is from Reverend Dr. Matthew Richard.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter. Jesus said, "There was a rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen, and who feasted sumptuously every day, and at his gate was laid a poor man named Lazarus, covered with sores, who desired to be fed with what fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, even the dogs came and licked his sores. The poor man died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried. And in Hades, being in torment, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham far off and Lazarus at his side. And he called out, 'Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus to dip the end of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame.' But Abraham said, 'Child, remember that you in your lifetime received your good things, and Lazarus in like manner bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you a great chasm has been fixed, in order that those who would pass from here to you may not be able, and none may cross from there to us.' And he said, 'Then I beg you, Father, to send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, so that he may warn them, lest they also come into this place of torment.' But Abraham said, 'They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them.' And he said, 'No, Father Abraham, but if someone goes to them from the dead, they will repent.' He said to him, 'If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be convinced if someone should rise from the dead.'" This is the gospel of the Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen. We all want the good life. Yes, we all want the good life. You and I want the good life where we have an abundance of food, nice clothes, laughter, dance, joy, and plenty of cash to drop on whatever toy that we want at the moment. Life is easy, or so we think, when we can eat what we want, sleep when we want, and do whatever we want without any of those worries on us. We all want this good life. It seems that everybody else in our culture wants this good life too. Our culture constantly exalts this good life by highlighting the supposed good lives of celebrities in tabloids, on social media, and on television reality TV shows. It is easy to turn on cable television or go to the internet to watch celebrities drive around in their fancy cars and living in their Hollywood mansions while going to parties where everybody around them is dressed up like a supermodel. We see the good life on advertisements on television and commercials as well. Buy this car, buy this makeup, listen to this kind of music, buy this new technology, buy this and buy that, and if you do, you will enhance your meager lives and then arrive at that good life. Don't settle for a second-class citizenship. Don't fly coach. Don't buy generic cereal. Don't shop at Kmart. And don't be a loser. Live the good life. There's no doubt about it, my friends. No doubt about it, that the good life is exalted, and those who do not wear a certain type of clothes or drink a certain type of beverage or have a certain type of pedigree are frowned upon as lesser human beings unless the person does everything possible to obtain that good life. The Pharisees, yes, those old Pharisees that we read about in the scriptures, the Pharisees of Jesus' day, they believed that they were living the good life. They turned their nose up at everyone around them. They made long prayers in front of everyone so they could be heard. And they acted holier than thou. They paraded around acting like they were living the good life and everyone else around them was subpar. they believed, yes, they sure believed, along with others, that whoever is rich and powerful and living the good life is fortunate and should be respected by those around them. Whereas those who were poor, those who were needy, those who were forsaken and unfortunate should be looked down upon, should be scorned and seen as a second-class citizen. But my friends, why is the good life exalted so much? There's a temptation for us to look externally to clothes, material things, money, and power, and then determine on the basis of these external things how important or valuable we are. Furthermore, there's a temptation to try and acquire a supposed good life where we can have everything together and look like we are the cat's meow, all for the sake of justifying ourselves in front of others. It is a temptation that stands before all of us. It stands before you. It stands before me. We want to be respected. We want to be admired. We actually want to be worshipped by others. We want God to be impressed by us and our lives. Unfortunately, though, when we begin to buy into the mentality of the good life, we can deceive ourselves. In other words, fine clothing, quality products, and good living should not be condemned. Let me repeat that. Fine clothing, good products, and good living should not, I repeat, should not be condemned. However, when we try to live the good life by looking for pleasure and our identity and our worth, our very worth from these things, well, we have forgotten God and we've been ensnared in a vicious trap. Dear friends, the desire for the good life is so enticing. As we have already heard, not only are we tempted to base our worth and our identity off of the good life, but things within the good life have a way of distorting reality as they suck us into them. In other words, we can be so seduced by the good life that we turn good into evil and evil into good. For example, food and drink and clothing and joy are all good gifts to us. They're good gifts that are given to us. They are wonderful gifts. However, if we are enticed by the ideology of the good life, we can take food and turn it into gluttony, drink into drunkenness, clothing into self-centered glory, and joy into a pig's life. Furthermore, this good life knows no limits, as it leads us to dress up sin as if it were good. Greed can be viewed as talent, and pride is turned into honor, to name a few. Simply stated, it is easy to separate, it's easy to forget God, and then be drawn into the endless chaos of trying to grasp the imaginary treasures of the good life. So, not only can we wrongly base our worth and our identity off of the good life, but we can be drawn into the deception where evil is made good and good is made evil. Knowing all this, considering everything we've just talked about and heard here this morning, we can start to make sense of why the rich man found himself in hell. Yes, we can make sense why this rich man that we heard about in the gospel reading from Luke found himself in hell. Permit me to explain. In our gospel reading, Jesus lays forth two men. One is rich and the other is poor. One lives each day well, has an abundance of food, and the other one suffers need and dies in hunger. One is handsomely attired, has his chest full of suits and clothing. The other goes naked, unable to cover his body. One laughs, the other one weeps. One dances, sings, and leaps, and lives to the full, a true playboy. The other lies down and dies in the dust. Yes, Jesus lays down two men side by side in our gospel reading of Luke. They have nothing in common, really nothing in common except one thing. They both die. At death, though, contrary to what people might think, the rich man finds himself in hell and Lazarus, yes, Lazarus, the poor beggar who experienced hell on earth, finds himself in heaven, in paradise. Now, dear friends, do not be deceived. what is prized and desired by mankind is actually abhorrent to God. That is what we are learning from today's gospel lesson, this gospel reading. That is to say, the things that mankind believes is the good life, the things that mankind looks up to, admires, finds pleasure in, boasts of, glories in, and uses to justify self is actually utterly abhorrent in God's eyes. To put it another way, all of our forms of self-exaltation before God are actually disgusting in God's eyes. God is not impressed. He is not impressed by the size of our paychecks, the beauty of our makeup, the quality of our cars and our pickups and our farm equipment. He's not impressed by the fanciness of our houses, the accomplishments of our spiritual resumes, and the impressiveness of our reputations, even though we cherish these things and are fond of them ourselves. Being proud of ourselves and boasting of our own worth, dressing up our greed and polishing our sinful nature, and walking around snubbing our nose at others will not earn us a place in paradise, but will make us beggars in hell. I repeat, will make us beggars in hell. Being sufficient and having plenty of prestigious things in this life does not validate a person as being godly, and being poor, though, does not mean one is accursed. With that said, is the whole point of today's gospel that we should all become poor in order to avoid the fires of hell? Is that the point that the gospel of Luke is trying to convey? Should we become like poor Lazarus and lay dead at the feet of wealth with the sores on our body, beating our breasts, saying, I am justified because I am poor and beggarly? No, absolutely not, my friends. We must understand that poor Lazarus does not come into paradise because he is poor, or the rich man into hell because he is rich. Being rich is not evil, and being poor is not good. Riches save no one. Poverty saves no one. It is only Jesus who saves. Now you who have ears, hear this. It is not the spiritual millionaires who receive the kingdom of God, but it is spiritual beggars. Those who mourn over their sin, those who are meek and know that they have nothing, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed, for the kingdom of God is for people such as this. Why did the rich man go to hell? He was proud in the world. He was self-sufficient, and he considered himself good to go because he had the good life. He was actually blind to the reality of his sinfulness, that he was a sinner in thought, word, and deed. He was blind to the reality that he needed grace and that he needed mercy and salvation. Why did poor Lazarus, though, on the other hand, go to paradise? He saw himself as a sinner. His stony heart was crushed. Any aspirations of the good life were unattainable. He knew that the circumstances of his life, his weakness and beggarly status, were the same for him spiritually speaking. Dear baptized saints, beware. I repeat, beware. Beware of seeking out the good life with the intent and purpose of becoming self-sufficient, so that you will not wish to be looked upon or feel like a spiritual beggar. Yes, beware of the temptation of trying to acquire the good life so that you will no longer be in need of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Here's the catch. The better that things go, the easier it is to deceive ourselves, supposing that we do not need Jesus' forgiveness, life, and salvation. For example, it is easy to go to church when times are tough. No doubt about it. It is easy to go to church when times are tough, but it is easier to neglect the word and sacrament when times are good. In the words of Martin Luther, beware of aspiring to such purity that you will not wish to be looked upon as a sinner or to be one, for Christ dwells only with sinners. My friends, the gospel is for sinners only. Paradise is for spiritual beggars only. In other words, repent of aspiring to be like the rich man with his supposed good life, for this ends in hell. So, dear baptized saints, Whether you are financially wealthy or beggarly poor, we are all the same. We are all poor, miserable sinners in need of forgiveness. All of us are brothers and sisters, not to the rich man, but to the poor man, Lazarus. Yes, indeed, whatever your status in the eyes of the world, no matter your outward appearance, accomplishments, or success, as measured by earthly standards, you have been brought before God's word and this altar this day as poor, miserable sinners. And before God's word and his altar, you hear and receive the goodness of the Lord. You have received the Lord who has befriended you. You have received and obtained this salvation. The Lord has opened your eyes to see your need of salvation this morning. You are right there with poor Lazarus as an inheritor of paradise. Your end is not hell, but paradise. Yes, you are with Lazarus, for the Lord knows you by name, and he gives you the good life. He gives you the right to be called children of God. He gives you his good word. He gives you his good body and blood to lavishly feast upon. You are given the good life in Jesus Christ, apart from anything that you can do or will do, so that you can and will recline with Lazarus and all the saints in paradise forever. The good life is not in the empty aspirations of the world, but it is in the Lord who gives you your identity, who gives you your worth and the promise of the good life for eternity. He gives this to you now as his baptized children, as his baptized Christians, that you should not want, so you should not fear, but rest with complete and total assurance. In the name of Jesus, who is your good life now and forevermore, amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast sermon. You can access a full manuscript of today's sermon from Pastor Matthew Richard's blog at www.pastormattrichard.org or visit Zion Lutheran Church's website at www.ziongwinner.org. The Lord bless and keep you.